Okay, we're going to chant a little. Sleeping, we'll chant Jiva Jago.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Prabhu Bhaja. Paramahansa Parvati-gacharya also tato satishi shimad his divine grace abhaya chanana bhaktana gosami Srila Prabhupada ki jai iskan founder acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai ananda goti voishna vrinda ki jai namacharya Srila Hridas Thakur ki jai Rem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikapatna Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Ki Jai Maturadam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shrimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jai Gaur All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarne. So, Omaganati Manandasha Gananjana Slakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. By the mercy of Prabhupada, we're able to speak about these most esoteric subject matters. Actually, without Prabhupada's mercy, we would be nowhere. Okay, so we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, still in the 15th chapter of the Maja Lila, talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorification of his devotees. Yesterday we talked about the glorification of Vasudev Dat. Vasudev Dat, he is compassion personified, love personified, because he was ready to suffer everyone's sins so that everyone else can go back to Godhead. Now that is pretty intense. And I think we just have to be honest, at least I have to be honest, that I'm not ready to suffer for anyone else's sins so they go back to Godhead. I just want to be Krishna conscious myself, love Krishna and serve Krishna, and help others, of course, help others. But I am not a martyr. What is a martyr? A martyr is someone who just, like, dies sacrificing themselves. That's the great devotee, like Lord Jesus Christ or Srila Prabhupada, but not I'm just a servant of Krishna. Try my best to serve Srila Prabhupada. Okay? And that's what I'm doing. We have to be honest about our positions. Why should I say that I'm ready to suffer forever in the material world? I'm not. I want to be Krishna conscious. Kita janmohai yata tuya das. I just want to be Krishna conscious. Even if you let me take birth as a worm in the next life, I'm willing to do that as long as I can be a Krishna conscious worm. So, let us go on with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from the Majjhima chapter 15. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda. So I'm going to make a little comment about Murari Gupta's dedication to Lord Ram. So I can very much relate to that, not because, I mean, obviously I love Lord Ram, but because of Murari Gupta's dedication to Ram, and, you know, I can compare it to the way I'd like to be in relationship to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Just completely dedicated like that. I mean, for example, you find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing Krishna in so many attractive ways. And obviously, when you look at all the expansions and manifestations of the Supreme Personality of God, of the Vishnu Tattva personalities, you'll find that objectively Krishna is the most attractive. Yes. However, if one is devoted to Lord Ram, if one is devoted to Kurma or Matsya, for him or her, that personality is most attractive. Even though it's not objective, it's subjective, but it's spiritually subjective, so which makes it objective for that particular individual, which is really interesting. Okay, so now we're going to read a verse from the Brahma Sanghita. It's actually a very important verse, which Prabhupada would often quote. Okay, oh, sorry. If I act a little tired today, it's because I had my booster shot for the COVID vaccine, or COVID virus, and so it definitely makes you a little tired. And the reason I'm getting these shots is to protect myself so I can travel around the world and see all my dear, dear, dear friends. Yashwindra Gopamata Pendra Ho Swakarma Bandhanu Rupa Palabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdhati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam Govindamari Purushang Tamaham Bhajami. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, who regulates the sufferings and enjoyments due to fruit of activity. He does this for everyone, from the heavenly king Indra down to the smallest insect, Indra Gopa. That's like a microscopic creature. That very personality of Godhead destroys the karmic reactions of one engaged in devotional service. A quotation from the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, text 54. So let me just comment on this verse. That there's two types of living entities in this world. I mean, there's different gradations. Okay, there's the conditioned soul. Actually, there's those who are aspiring for liberation and those who are already Krishna conscious. Okay, but for those who are Krishna conscious and those who are aspiring to be Krishna conscious and they're chanting, following the rules and regulations, there is no karma or no fruit of activity or fruit of reactions. There's no fruit. But there is the fruit of devotional service, which comes from the Bhakti Lata Bij. Anyway, so Govinda sets up this system, that's Krishna, sets up the system of karma, that means action and reaction, although Govinda doesn't directly operate the system, he regulates the system. So indirectly, he controls the system because he sets it up so it works practically under the jurisdiction of the demigods and demigoddesses. So anyway, so but one who is Krishna conscious, Aham Tvam Sarvapapi Bhyo Mukshi Yashyami Masu Jaha, then it's not karma. Like if something happens to me, let's say I walk out the door of my house and someone slaps me in the face, hasn't happened yet. That's not karma. That's Krishna's arrangement. Now, if I walk out the door and jump off the deck of my house, that's not Krishna's arrangement. That's my stupidity. So, different things happen to devotees. It's not that devotees can say, oh, that was Krishna's arrangement. I got a speeding ticket. It wasn't Krishna's arrangement. It was my foolishness. Otherwise, I could say, oh, Krishna was just purifying me. Krishna was just purifying the policeman. Yeah, in one sense, because I saw Krishna behind everything, yes. But I have to take responsibility for it. The ticket was my fault, not Krishna's fault. You couldn't say to the judge, actually it was Krishna who was speeding. He should get the ticket. Or say to the police, you know, Krishna made me do it. Or as the Christians sometimes say, the devil made me do it. Can you imagine? Okay, let's say even if I blame the material energy when the police pulled me over and I said to the policeman, it was just lust, anger, and greed that caused me to speed in the car. It's not me. I'm a spirit soul. I'm pure. The problem is lust, anger, and greed. Well, not lust so much. Desire to enjoy the material world. So I couldn't. I have to take responsibility. I chose to do it. And I could have chosen not to do it. I wasn't forced to speed. So I am responsible, not Krishna. But if something happens outside my control, let's say I walk out of the door and somebody just like slaps me and I never met them before, I don't really think it's my fault. It's Krishna's arrangement to detach me from proper evolution distinction. So tamara icha matre habe brahmanda mochana sarvamukta karite krishnara nahi kichu shama. Because of your honest desire, all living entities within the universe will be delivered, for Krishna does not have to do anything to deliver all living entities in the universe. Eka udombara vikshe lage koti phule koti he ramanda vase virarjara jale. Just as there are millions of fruits on the udombara tree, millions of universes float in the waters of the river viraja, the causal ocean. The viraja is a river that divides the material world. Now, it's not like a gross river like we're accustomed to seeing. It's a spiritual river. Yes, believe it, it's spiritual. Which is very subtle. It's a river that divides the material world and the spiritual world on one side. Actually, in Greek mythology, they talk about the river Styx, which is like the river Viraja. One side of the river Viraja is the effulgence of Brahmaloka and the innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And of course, the topmost Vaikuntha planet, the topmost planet in the spiritual world is Krishna Loka, and it is bigger than everything else in the planet. I want to go to Krishna Loka. No, I want to stay here, serve Prabhupada. On the other side is this material world that where we are, because we understood this side of the Viraja River is filled with material planets floating in the causal ocean. The name We're talking about causal ocean, viraja. These things are far beyond our ability to understand with our mundane brainies. The name viraja indicates a marginal position between the spiritual and material worlds, but the viraja river is not under the control of the material energy. Consequently, it is devoid of the three gunas. Guna means rope. It also means the modes of nature, like goodness, passion, and ignorance, that are dragging us here and there. And of course, we're choosing to associate with a particular mode. For example, if I go to the stock market, I will be associating with the mode of passion. Passion, passion, passion. I mean, I'll give you an example. One time, a devotee donated to the temple some gold certificates. I don't think any of you know what a gold certificate is. I mean, it's a certificate that means that someone is keeping gold for you, some big company, you know, 1 ounce, 2 ounce, 5 ounces. And so as soon as they donated that gold certificate, I started looking in the newspaper. What is the price of gold today? Oh, today it's gone up by $5. Tomorrow went down by $3. Oh my God. And so it puts one's mind in a very fruitive sense or fruitive context. So when you actually start thinking, and that's passion. It's passion or memorial. Hope it goes up. I pray to Krishna it goes up. I pray, pray, pray. Finally, I cashed the gold certificate in, put it in the devotee, in the deity's bank account, and I didn't worry about it because otherwise it was just absorbing the mind. Actually, one time, it's interesting, there's a story that Prabhupada went one time with Shyama Sundara, and they invested some money, and there's a story actually about this in Shyama Sundara's book. How Prabhupada was looking at this ticker tape. Ticker tape means like a video display or some display like that of how the price of gold or whatever commodity they invested it in was going up and down. Prabhupada didn't like it very much. But it absorbs your attention. So you're choosing to associate with the mode of passion. Similarly, you can choose to associate with the mode of goodness. It's like I'm looking outside now with the trees and the greens and the little squirrels, and it's a mode of goodness. I feel very peaceful. Or I could start to think, I'm tired, very tired, and then I'm associated with the mode of ignorance. So you can choose what mode you're associating with. And therefore, by associating with that particular mode, which you are choosing to do, you are actually impelled to act in a certain way. The mode of ignorance, you're impelled to drink, be lethargic, be procrastinating. That's the mode of ignorance. And you do things in the mode of ignorance that are harmful to your body. It's like yesterday, I was talking to my doctor. And I was asking him, he was the, what we call an ENT doctor. That means ears, nose, throat. You got it. Ears, nose, eyes. Yeah, so ears and eyes. Okay, so I was asking him, I said, so what's the effect of drinking? Because I don't drink. And he says, it causes cancer. I said, so what's the effect of smoking? Of course it causes cancer. He's a very nice gentleman. I was having an interesting discussion with him, even about vegetarianism. And I said, what is the cause of taking both liquor and cigarettes? He says, they work together and they increase the cancer-causing potential of each one. Wow. In other words, together they're worse than both of them separately. Wow. So people in a mode of ignorance destroy the body. In the name of enjoying, they're destroying the body. I mean, what to speak, you take liquor, you get cancer or cirrhosis of the liver. So many other things, cigarettes, you get mouth cancer, or that's chewing tobacco. or cigars. I mean, people are just crazy. Crazy. They destroy the body. The body is our tool. It's just like filling your car with the wrong type of fuel. For example, one time, I'd lent my car years and years ago. I had a car that went on diesel fuel. Yes. And I lent it to my secretary, thinking, you know, she knows how to drive. So she filled it with gasoline. She put gasoline. And you know, if you don't know anything about cars, when you put gasoline in a diesel-fueled car, it destroys the pistons. Because a diesel-fueled car has higher compression. I'm not going to give you a whole lesson about it. It destroys the pistons. So she, luckily she didn't drive it very much. The car started going boom, boom, boom. She called me and said, something's wrong with the car. I said, what'd you do? Because normally I always understand it's someone else's fault, not mine. So what did you do? She said, I just put gasoline. I said, you fool! And then I had to just drain the whole gasoline out of the car. Somehow it was safe. So the point is, yes, we have to take care of this body. It's our mechanism. It's our machine for doing things. Don't worry. None of you know who this person is. It's not my present secretary. So don't find fault. It's someone else who shall remain nameless, protect a guilty person. So anyway, let's continue reading. Tadaika. So in other words, you have a mode of ignorance, that's what happens. Eka palapati yadi nashta huya tatapi vrikshana hi jane nija apachaya. The udumbara tree is filled with millions of fruits, and if one falls down and is destroyed, the tree does not even consider the loss. So the example being used here in the metaphor is that if there's one material world, everyone goes back to God. It's not a problem. There's enough material worlds to go around. Taiche eka brahmanda yadi mukta haya tabu alpla hani krishna ramane nahi laya. In the same way, if one universe is vacated due to living entities having been liberated, that is a very little thing for Krishna. He does not take it very seriously. Ananda Aishvarya Krishna Vaikuntharita Ma Taragada Kaya Karanavdi Yaranama. The entire spiritual world constitutes the unlimited opulence of Krishna, and there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets there. The causal oceans are considered the surrounding waters of Vaikuntha Loka. Tate vase mayalana ananda brahmanda karakaite vase yena rai purna banda. Maya and her unlimited material universes are situated in that causal ocean. Indeed, Maya appears to be floating like a pot filled with mustard seeds. Maya can also mean energy, can mean illusion. In this particular case, it means the illusory potency, the material potency of the Lord. Because all the universes are like a pot filled with mustard seeds, because all the universes and all the living entities are within the womb of Maya. The pot. Tadaika rai nashe hani nahi mani Ajaya Kadhanda Nashe Krishna Nahi Honey. Out of the millions of mustard seeds floating in that pot, if one seed is lost, the loss is not at all significant. Similarly, if one universe is lost, it is not significant to Lord Krishna. Sava Brahmanda Sahayari Maya Rahayakshya Tatapi Namane Krishna Kichu Apachaya. To say nothing of one universe of mustard seed, even if all the universes in the material energy Maya are destroyed, Krishna does not even consider the loss. It's the whole material energy on itself, it doesn't exist. For example, the universal or the material energy is considered to be like the prison house of a government. If all the prisoners become honest people, and all the prison houses are therefore useless or destroyed, no problem. But it ain't gonna happen. Sometimes devotees ask the question, what if everybody goes back to Godhead? Who will populate the material world? And the material world is not necessary. But it ain't going to happen. Don't worry. Yeah, we should be so lucky. Koti kamadeno patira chagiyache mare. Because sometimes the souls are going up, sometimes they're going down. Sadashvaya pati krishna ramaya kibakare. If a person possessing millions of wish-fulfilling cows loses one she-goat, he is not considered lost. Krishna owns all six opulences in full. If the entire material energy is destroyed, what does he lose? Nothing! Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in clarifying verses 171 to 179, states that the meaning of these stanzas is very simple, but that the purport is a little difficult to understand. Generally, the conditioned souls forget Krishna when they are enticed by the material external energy. Forget. Forget means we knew Krishna at one point. Consequently, they are called Krishna Bhadhira Mukha, which basically means you turn your face, Bhadhira, outside or away from Krishna, bereft of their relationship with Krishna. When such a living entity comes under the jurisdiction of the material energy, he is sent into one of the innumerable material universes created by the material energy to give a chance to conditioned souls to fulfill their desires in the material world. Yes. Just like you commit a crime, let's say a federal crime, the government will decide which prison you're going to go to. Simple. You don't get to choose. Okay, you can go to the prison Alcatraz. Guess probably you don't know what Alcatraz is. But anyway. Being very eager to enjoy the fruits of their activities, conditioned souls become involved in the actions and reactions of material life. Consequently, they enjoy and suffer the results of karma. However, if a conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious, joy, the karma of his pious and impious activities is completely destroyed. Simply, by becoming a devotee, one is freed of all the reactions of karma. Have we actually become devotees? Similarly, simply by the desire of a devotee, conditioned soul can attain liberation and transcend the results of karma. Since everyone can be liberated in this way, one may conclude that it is according to the sweet will of the devotee whether the material world exists or does not exist. Ultimately, however, it is not the sweet will of the devotee, but the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, if he so desires, can completely annihilate the material creation. There's no loss on his part. The owner of millions of cows does not consider the loss of one she-goat. Similarly, Lord Krishna is the proprietor of both the material and spiritual universes. The material world constitutes only one-fourth of his creative energy. If, according to the desire of a devotee, the Lord completely destroys the creation, he is so opulent that he will not mind the loss. Now, one thing, I just really want to make this clear. When we talk about people being liberated from the material energy, it doesn't necessarily mean they went back to Godhead. It means they're liberated in the sense they can be floating around in the Brahma Jyoti. And maybe other situations too, but to go back to Godhead, one has to voluntarily decide that Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's. I belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me. That is the price, love. Bhaktyamam avajanati yamanyas chasmi tatvataha. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, it's only by bhakti or devotion that one can know Krishna. And of course, one gets the opportunity by being given the bhakti lata bija by a pure devotee. However, it's like if you're given seeds, for example. Many years ago when I used to grow a garden, I went to the seed store and I picked different seeds. And sometimes I watered the seeds and took care of them. And other times I just didn't have time. And there were weeds that grew around those particular creepers that came from the seeds. And other times there was no water, so the seeds just remain there without any sprouting. So, therefore, we can understand the pure devotee gives the opportunity to go back to Godhead, and by the desire of Krishna, while the pure devotee, one can be liberated, but to go back to Godhead, you have to voluntarily choose to go back to Godhead, otherwise you will not be happy there. Because you're Krishna Bhati Ramukha, if you show up one in the spiritual world and everyone is seeing Krishna as the center, and you're thinking, what about me, Prabhus? You know, I want to be in the limelight too. Obviously, you wouldn't be a happy camper there. To be happy in the spiritual world, to want to be in the spiritual world, to go to the spiritual world, you have to be happy in the spiritual world. I want the mentality as a specific mentality. The mentality is bhakti. And you have to be thinking Krishna is the center. Radha and Krishna are the center. Jaya, 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 jama, jita, dosha, grib, vita, gunan, pamashi, yadatmana, sa, samavaruda, samastabhagaha, agad, jagad, okasam, akila, shakjavo, takate, kachit, jayatmana, chacharato, nucharain, nigamaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Oh, my Lord, O unconquerable one, O master of all potencies, please exhibit your internal potency to conquer the nations of all moving and inner living entities. Due to nations, they accept all kinds of faulty things, thus provoking a fearful situation. O Lord, please show your glories. You can do this very easily. If your internal potency is beyond the external potency, and you are the reservoir of all opulence. You are also the demonstrator of the material potency. You are also always engaged in your pastimes in the spiritual world where you exhibit your reserved internal potency. And sometimes you exhibit the external potency by glancing over it." That's when he impregnates the external potency by looking at it. That look or that glance is called Shambhu, and then we all become implanted in the material energy, in the womb of the material energy. Thus you manifest your pastimes. The Vedas confirm your two potencies and accept both types of pastimes due to them. So the material energy is a type of pastime too. It's a pastime of compassion. If one understands teleology, the study of purposes, the purpose of the material world, one will see it's a very merciful place. Because it gives you a chance to get rectified. Like the prison house gives you a chance to get rectified, unless you're there forever and ever and ever. It gives you a chance to get rectified so you can come back to your original honest position. And if we didn't have the material world, those who were booted out of the spiritual world would have nowhere to go. They would go into, as the Christians say, limbo. Now, limbo is not a dance. The people go under a stick. That's not limbo. Or maybe it's a different definition of limbo. But limbo means not here, not there. In other words, nowhere. It's sort of like limbo. I mean, it's interesting. Look it up later on if you want to know what it means. It means not having any destination or not any situation. So, therefore, the material world is actually a very merciful place. The Lord has a lot of mercy in creating the material world because it gives us a chance to get rectified. All right, this verse is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-14. This is from the prayers of the Shutiga, presided by Vedas who glorify the Lord. The Almighty Personality of Godhead has three potencies: internal, external, and marginal. So internal means spiritual, external means there's dull matter like my computer, and marginal means like the soul, not this body, but the soul that's driving the body. The conditioned souls who are condemned due to their forgetfulness of the Lord are put under the control of the external potency when she creates the material world. So she's our controller, the boss. And she controls us through Manaksha, Stani, Indriyani, Prakriti, Stani, Karshati, the six senses, which include the mind. The mind is the sixth sense, but especially The tongue, dharma de jivayati, lobamaya sudurumati. The tongue, because we want to flap it to talk, we want to flap it to eat. And we just want to rub different varieties of tasty things on the tongue. Isn't it? We're so concerned. What's for dinner tonight? Oh, it's the same thing. I just want some variety. But when one, that's all right. But when one has spiritual variety, then the material varieties are not important anymore to that particular individual. As long as one doesn't have spiritual variety, then you have to have some material variety. Okay, today we go to this park. Tomorrow we go to that park. I'm bored. I'm bored with this. I'm bored with the same brother, sister, or wife, or husband, or mother, or father. It's boring. Seen it. Been there. Done it. Typical expression in the material world is used now. Seen there. Seen it. Been there. Done it. In other words, get me out of here. I want more variety. And variety is important. But ultimately, we're meant to experience spiritual variety by chanting the Lord's holy names, hearing the Lord's pastimes, serving the Vaishnava. There's so much nice spiritual variety that even the variety of the world is insignificant at that point. Therefore, the devotee can be regulated. Regulation means you do the same thing every day. Not as a robot, not on automatic pilot, but you get up, because you're really anxious to experience the spiritual variety. That's the ecstasy. You get up, wow. Among the largest spiritual variety, Krishna's there. It's the same Krishna, but there's infinite variety in Krishna's expressions and the expression of love that we can have for Krishna. The three modes of material nature keep the living entity in a constant state of fear. This is from the Bhagavad Gita. The conditioned soul is always fearful due to being controlled by the external potency. What's going to happen? There's danger, padam, padam, yapi, padam, tesham. There's danger at every step. Therefore, the conditioned soul, so we have this expression, conditioned soul, means we're conditioned by our past experiences, our upadis, the designations, what we think we are, in fact we are not those things, just temporary designations. We are conditioned by illusion, conditioned by the concept that I am the center, Ishwarahama, humble epogi, siddhahambalavansuki. We should always pray to the Almighty Lord to conquer the external potency Maya so that she will no longer manifest her powers which bind all living entities moving in and out. Daiviyeshu gudamayi mamamayi duratya. Mama Ibaye Rajate Mayamakam Duranti take. This material energy, Krishna says in the Gita, is impossible to overcome, but one who approaches me and loves me, he or she can easily cross beyond it. In other words, the material energy, which is like an ocean, becomes shrunk to the size, this is a description in the Vedas, of a calf's hoofprint, and one can easily step over it. By praying in this way, one will become eligible to remain constantly in the association of the Lord, thus fulfilling the mission of going back home, back to God. And Krishna, 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 help, help. Oh, Ainanda Tanuja, King Karam, Patita Mam, Vishame Bhavam Buddha. Kripaya Tapapada Pankaja, Stita Duli Sambhasam. Son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I fall into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please, fix me. Save me from this ocean of death. And fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. I beg you, Krishna. I'm sick and tired of this. Prapanandamadamma Prabhu. That's that was Devahuti's prayer. She said, I'm sick of this illusion. And she approaches Kapiladeva, her son, who's actually Krishna, an incarnation of Krishna. She says, I'm sick of the disturbances caused by these senses. Please save me from them. I'm sick of being controlled by these senses, these emotions and these senses. Okay, enough of that. Hemata Savra Bhakterakahi Sabaguna Sabari Vidaya Dila Karya Lingana. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the good qualities of his devotees one after another. He then embraced them and bade them farewell, which time is deriving great bliss by it. Praising his devotees. Prabhura vichede bhakta karena brudana bhaktera vichede prabhura vishana haila mada. Due to the impending separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees began to cry how much love they had. The Lord was also morose due to separation from the devotees. Kuraila Avase Gadadhar Pandit remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was given a place to live at Yameshwara. That's where the Tota Gopinath temple is. Yameshwara is on the southwest side of the Jagannath temple. Gadadhar Pandit resided there, and there was a small garden and a sandy beach known as Yameshwara Tota. And I've been there. Puri Goshani Jagadananda Sarupa Damodara Namadara Panditara Govinda Kashishwara Esavasange Prabhu Vaisai Nilachale Jagannatha Darashana Nitya Kare Prata Kale. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at Jagannath Puri Nilachala with Paramanda Puri, Jagannanda, Swarup Damodar, Damodar Pandit, Govinda Kashishvara. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's daily practice to see Lord Jagannath in the morning. Prabhu Pasha Si Sarvabhomai Kadina Yodahata Karikichu Kaila Nivedana. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is a very interesting story, and we want to put most of it off for tomorrow, but let's just do the introduction today. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded hands and submitted a request. Hey, Sarvabhaishnava Gauda Deshe Chaligela, Ebe Prabhura Nimantrane Avasara Hoyla. Since all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas, returned to Bengal, there was a good chance that the Lord would accept an invitation. Ebe modakha gade viksha karaha mafa pari prabhu kahi dharma nahi kadite na pari. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, please accept my invitation for lunch for 1 month. The Lord replied, that is not possible. Yours is against the religious principles of a sannyasi. So in other words, sannyasi can't eat in the same place. Usually 3 days max. Sarvabhauma kahe viksha karaha visha dina prabhu kahe eha nahi yati dharma jina. Sarvabhauma, he's bargaining with Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma then said, please accept the invitation for 20 days. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, is not the religious, a religious principle of the renounced order. Because renounced order has to keep traveling. Jai, I'm for it. So, today we read text 170 to 189, and we'll continue 190 tomorrow. Okay, now we will take questions from everybody. Okay. Oh. Okay, who has a question? Question, you can see my little button here. This is I took the COVID. Yes, ready to go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, what's your question?
I just want to understand when you say, Krishna, I'm yours and, I belong to you and you are mine. What it really means in
what I mean?
How do I behave that way?
How can you feel that way? That's the surrendering practice and principle to accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. Understand the Lord is always protecting one. Understand the Lord is always maintaining one. Be meek and humble, which is very hard for me. That's the hard one. And to not have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. So those six surrendering principles, that's what it really means. to accept everything favorable, that yukta vairagya, reject everything that cannot be used in the Lord's service, is just like a deviation. And you can use so many things in the Lord's service. Of course, you have to be careful not to think that I can do anything in the Lord's service. Like I gave that example many months ago, the one time I wanted to go hang gliding, I thought I could use that in the Lord's service, because I thought that if I went hang gliding, I could chant japa better, being in a dangerous situation, or I could put a banner behind me saying chant Hare Krishna, but then I thought, no, I can't use it in the Lord's service. Sometimes we are tempted to engage something in the Lord's service that cannot be engaged in the Lord's service. Okay. And here's from Jishnu. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, just for clarification, the four languages, what does intoxication mean? Intoxication, is it just alcohol or anything else? Technically, someone might also be intoxicated by mango juice. That's funny. I remember the early days of the we would all drink so much sugar water or take so much sugar that we got pretty intoxicated. I think, practically speaking, it means taking an intoxicant. But, if you take it in a larger sense, you could take it as doing anything that causes you to forget Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada didn't mean like that. Prabhupada meant specifically things like cigarettes or alcohol or marijuana or any form of drugs that were used to alter the consciousness. In other words, you're doing something to alter the consciousness. Now, some of those drugs might be acceptable under certain circumstances for health reasons. Like if someone has extreme pain in the body, then they may take a pain relief or reliever. That would be, under ordinary circumstances, intoxication. I mean, I've seen people who are terminal cancer patients, they have to be given morphine. So that doesn't mean they were taking intoxication. So you have to see, basically, by the result of it. I mean, sometimes we become intoxicated by our own false pride, too, but that's not breaking the regular principles. Here's another question. Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Those who were surrendered, that means they have developed Krishna Prema as they do not even want to go back to God. Those who are 100% surrendered to Krishna are pure devotees. And they just want to do whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants them to go back to God, they go back to God. If Krishna doesn't want them to go, they don't go. If Krishna wants them to go to hell, Narayana Puraksarve, Nakata Kutashtana Bibhiti, Swarga Putbhaga. Nadakeshu apitul yartha darshana. Then they're ready to go wherever Krishna wants. That's a very high standard. I mean, not many of us can say that, Krishna, just send me wherever you want. Most of us would say, Krishna, could you send me at least to Australia this year? Can you send me to Fiji this year? Can you send me to New Zealand this year? Can you send me to Govardhan this year? I never say, Krishna, could you send me to hell this year? Obviously. And please, Krishna, don't send me to Canada during the winter. It's too cold. We all have these conditions. Of course, I don't say that. I would go to Canada if Krishna wanted. I used to. I used to be GBC in Toronto, and it was cold there. It was so cold that if you walked outside, you have to cover your nose because your nose would get iced up, it could break off, or get frostbite. So it was very cold. So here's another question. Yes, they do not even want to go back to that. That's the question. All right, so who else wants to ask a question? Actually, in the next day or two, I will be announcing the times for the Vyasa Puja's celebration. There's going to be a special one next Sunday in Australia, in Brisbane, next Sunday morning. And I'll be attending that one. Not physically, but, electronically. And then the next week we'll have one for the devotees in Australia, other places in Australia and Fiji and New Zealand, and we'll have another one for the devotees in America and in Europe. So there'll be options for the next Saturday. That's Saturday or Sunday, on the 10th. Sorry, it's the 10th. That's what they told me. Yeah, next Sunday in Australia and Brisbane, there'll be a celebration just in Brisbane. And those in Sydney and other places, whatever. But Brisbane will be next Sunday. Anyway, in that state of Australia, we'll be announcing the different times. Anyway, so here's a question. Hare Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned to be equal poised in happiness and distress. So does this apply to material things and not devotional activities? Yes. Obviously, if Krishna's pleased or displeased, we react differently. I'm not equal poised if Krishna's displeased. If Krishna's displeased, I get upset. If Krishna's pleased, I get happy. So my equal poise happens to be in the material world. Like if it's, for example, if it's too cold out or too hot out, I don't lose my composure. Hopefully. This is not a challenge, Krishna. I don't lose my composure. I just go on serving Krishna in spite of that. Hopefully, if I was advanced. Because I do feel very joyful and enthused celebrating Vaishnava festivals, and also do feel distressed when some Vaishnava I feel close to some problem. That's fine. That's fine. But every day is a Vaishnava festival. That's how we should feel. I feel like that. I mean, I was at Mangal Arati this morning in front of Radha Lokananda, and I felt, wow, it was a festival. And then I took prasadam tonight. I thought, the festival, I'm giving a class. This is a festival. So if you're Krishna conscious, kevalananda kanda, there's only blisses. Everything's a festival, but for those who are like medium Krishna conscious, then they have festivals and non-festivals. That's someone who's medium Krishna conscious. Sometimes it's a festival, sometimes it's not a festival. But those who are always Krishna conscious, every day is a festival. It's like Goloka Vrindavan. To me, every day is a festival. It's a challenge, and it's ecstatic serving Krishna and chanting my rounds. And, wow, why do I wake up early? Because it's ecstatic. I love to chant my rounds early. I love to sit and hear the holy names. I love to chant before the deities. I love to take prasadam. What else do I love to do? I don't know. Anyway, I love to read Prabhupada's books, so it's a festival. I pick up the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If that's not a festival, I don't know what is. But for those who are not as advanced, festival means like big crowds and thousands of mridangas, boom, 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 someone playing, boom, 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 boom. That's what a festival is. And that's why we have festivals. But for one who is an advanced devotee, every moment is a festival. And of course, they do also celebrate festivals, but they don't think this is a festival and this is not a festival. That is the difference. Okay. One other question. Oh, Jai Radhika has a question. Okay, why don't you unmute yourself?
Thank you so much. Please accept my humble obeisances to your glory to share my path. Hare Krishna. My question is, in Rath Yatra pastimes, we're saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to be in everybody's Harinam pastime, Harinam Sankirtan groups. And yes, and everybody seems to say Mahaprabhu. And then again, that Shrivas Thakur was benedicted that he can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every time he does Harinam Kirtan. So
Yes.
I just wanted to understand that was this only in Shrivas Angan, or was it like, because wasn't Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu wasn't able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well?
Well, I think you have to ask them that. If the Chaitanya Charitamrita says only Srivas Thakur could say. Of course, during Ratha Yatra, King Prataparuja was also able to say how Lord Chaitanya was in each group.
Yes, correct.
That's also described. All I can go by is the Shastric descriptions, you know, and so I'm not going to second guess what the Shastra describes. But as Srivas Thakur could see, and King Prataparuja could see. And it's possible Lord Chaitanya could have let a whole bunch of other devotees see, but that's not described. So I have to refer to Shastra, not my own fertile imagination. And sometimes, you know, one manifestation of the Lord can do something and the other one cannot understand. I mean, like when Krishna expanded himself as all the coward boys and calves, it took Balaram a while to understand what was happening. It took him quite a while to understand it. It's not that instantaneously he understood because of Yogamaya. So these are different pastimes between different expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these are inconceivable achincha shakti. Okay, that's a nice question. So I think we will end here. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. Thank you all for joining us. And this is ecstatic. This is a festival here from Chaitanya Charitamrita every single evening. I just look forward to it. I was just like, wow. I'm so fortunate I get to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's fortune. It's not an austerity. It's fortune. That's really important. That's the right consciousness. We should thank Krishna for that fortune. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.